Welcome to the Issuist Podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, a conversation with California's longest-serving governor, Jerry Brown, the four-term governor of California, with the issue of climate change, wildfires, record temperatures, all in the news. We thought, who better to talk about it than Jerry Brown, who made climate change the cause of his life, who focused so much of his political capital on the issue of climate change and continues to work on it now at 82 years old, now that he's out of office. So we caught up with him recently. We had him on the show, and he said to us, I've got more to say on this, so call me again. So we did. On a week that President Trump came and visited California because the wildfires are so bad. So now here is our conversation with the former governor of California, Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown has made climate change the cause of his life. He joins us now from his home in Colusa County. Jerry Brown, welcome back to The Issuist.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
You were actually on our show just last month. And at the end of our discussion about climate change, this is what you said.
Calling me again because I haven't finished telling you all that I know.
All right. We open invitation. So in just a few weeks since that, we have had one of the hottest days in the history of the state, the biggest wildfire in the history of the state. Governor, what's happening and what more do you want to share?
Well, here's the big takeaway. That while fighting climate change is profoundly important, while we do that, we have another separate and very immediate task, and that is protecting the people of California from fires and other things like landslides and flooding, which will also occur over the next several years and get worse. So here we are, the fires. You have to start taking care of the forests. And by the way, the number one person to take care of the forests is Donald Trump, because they belong to him. As the federal government leader, president, he has 60% of our forests. California has 3%. The rest are privately owned. So we all have to pull together and start thinning the forests, getting more firefighters, taking precaution by having preventative burnings, getting the helicopters, the manpower, the woman power. We have to invest billions of dollars. And I think we ought to get some help from the federal government, because it's their trees, they own them, and all pull together and protect Californians. That's the key takeaway for the next month and for the next several years.
Yeah, this week I actually served as the pool reporter for the state during President Trump's visit to California. Got some images of that. The president came over to talk to us after he got off Air Force One. This was in McClellan Park, California. His main point, California's fires caused by a failure of forest management. Here's what he said.
And what would you like to see specifically done on the issue of forest management? And is it possible that it's also forest management and climate change? It's both things
at the
same time.
Well, I think something's possible. I think a lot of things are possible. But with regard to the forest, when trees fall down after a short period of time, about 18 months, they become very dry. They become really like a matchstick.
Does he have a point when it comes to forest management? Even Governor Newsom says that we got to do more on forest management. And do you bear any responsibility for that?
He has a big point. But the point is, it's his forest. Hmm. California only owns 3% of the forest. Now, I'm not saying we don't have big responsibility. I'm not saying we can't manage the forest better. We can. But Mr. Trump is the foremost forest manager under his legal responsibility. But having said all that, what do we need to do? We need to thin forests very carefully. We need preventative fires. We need firefighters. We need helicopters. We need planes. Unfortunately and tragically, these fires are part of the new normal. We have to get ready for them, and getting ready for the fires is separate and apart from what we do to fight climate change.
I pressed him on the issue of climate change. He was pressed a few times that day on the issue of climate change, and he never said that climate change was a problem. What do you make of that?
I make of that that he has the same approach to climate change as he does to the virus. He is so full of his own sense of Donald Trumpness that he doesn't feel he has to listen to strangers who happen to be the world's greatest scientists. the world's greatest scientists in the national academies of America, China, Russia, England, Germany, Japan, all say human beings are creating global warming and that we got to do something about it. So Trump's just wrong on that. And hopefully we get a new president, we can do something about it, because things are getting worse. But if we don't fight climate change properly, they'll get even more worse, and it could be irreversible. And people watching this show, and certainly their children, will suffer grievously if we don't take the action which President Trump seems totally to deny.
You know, your successor, Governor Newsom, met with the president. That meeting was supposed to be private. That was the agreement. The president made it public at the last minute. Here's a look at what happened inside. And afterwards, I asked Governor Newsom about it.
That climate change is real. Please respect, and I know you do, the difference of opinion out here as it relates to this fundamental issue on the issue of climate change.
Absolutely.
When you talked to President Trump, if you felt heard on the climate issue?
Do I think we were heard? Yeah, I do think we were heard. And I think there's a way of approaching people that I expect the President of the United States to radically change course. No, I do not.
What did you make of the governor's approach to the president that day?
Look, I've been a governor. I've been in need of money. California, under this governor, needs billions from Donald Trump. So you tell me, how do you play that relationships? On the other hand, Trump is dead wrong on climate change. But we're all facing the prospect of protecting people against the fires this month and in the succeeding years. So there's a lot to do, and a little rhetoric here and a little rhetoric there probably is not so important as getting down to business, which are more firefighters, more planes, more materials to drop on these fires, and more preparation, more communication. We have enough. We have billions of dollars of work ahead of us in the next couple of years, so that if you got to do your best to get Trump to feel a little bit better and give the money to California, I don't see that's such a bad strategy.
So if you're in that room and you're sitting away from the president and you have this opportunity to talk to him on the issue of climate change, what do you say?
Well, I was in that opportunity, right, and I didn't say even as much as Gavin, and I'll tell you why. I don't think he's open to this. This is a topic that he's heard. He's a very political, strategic guy, and he has decided that denying climate, repealing 50 different policies on the environment that President Obama put in, will stimulate his base. This is part of his strategy, just like the right to life, the prayers, all that Christianity that he professes, but he never did before he became president. That's all part of the package of Donald Trump's reelection game plan. So why talk to him about it? You're not going to talk a guy out of a game plan that he thinks is working.
Yeah, of course. We were actually with you, and you were with him in Malibu in a similar trip as well back in 2018. So let's talk about
this.
Yeah,
by the way, I was with him, and when he talks, there's not a lot of room for commentary. This is a kind of an explosion of his confident languaging and words. And how do you get in? You have to almost be rude. You have to say, shut up, I got something to tell you. Well, that's not going to go anywhere. So that's the dilemma.
All right. So we're now in a situation where we have all of these problems across the state. I know last time you were on with us, you said what we need is radical change when it comes to the climate. What is the most important thing that could be done right now to try to prevent similar scenes like what we've seen over the last month?
All right, I'm going to tell you that. But first, I got to say, you can't prevent it in the short term because we can't stop dumping all the CO2 and methane and other chemicals into the environment. We slow it down, we eventually get to zero, or at least net zero. That's 20 to 25 years at the very best. So in the meantime, we got to fight the fires and protect people. But what do we do most? I would say start mandating zero emission vehicles. 40 to 50% of the climate emissions, the carbon emissions, are coming from cars and trucks. So get that one right. That is really important. The second thing is increase the price on cap and trade and continue vigorously the low carbon fuel standard. I know these sound technical, but California has the most advanced regulatory strategy to deal with this. Just step it up. But again, you got to be prudent because you don't want the voters to revolt on you.
If you mandated zero emission cars, how do you fight the auto industry on that issue? And also, how do you deal with the fact that that may not be happening around the world?
Well, it is happening in China, and it's beginning to happen in Europe. So if we did it ourselves, absolute failure, impossibility. Also, I'm not saying do it tomorrow. Do a lead time. Say that by 2030 or 35, no more diesel trucks or no more fossil fuel cars. Now, how does that work? Only if China joins with us, because they're the biggest car market. And that's why I established the California-China Climate Institute at UC Berkeley. So we've got that. And with China, with Europe, we can push the rest of the world. By ourselves, no, can't be done.
So we're in the midst, of course, of a presidential campaign right now. What does climate change issue look like if you end up with a Trump-Pence administration? What does it look like if you have a Biden-Harris administration? What does that specifically mean for the people of California?
Well, if Trump is elected, I assume he will continue his climate denial. The world will lose the leadership of America. Climate, the methane, the soot, the chlorofluorocarbons, the CO2, they will keep being emitted tens of billions every year, and it will become irreversible relatively soon. That is a disaster for the world, for California. If Joe Biden is elected, he's not going to follow that path. He's going to take the lead. Now, will it be enough? That's an open question. I know one thing. Trump on climate is an absolute unmitigated disaster. Joe Biden is a great hope. He's presented a plan, a $2 trillion green plan, very bold, the boldest ever. So that gives me a lot of hope.
We are talking with the four-term governor of California, Jerry Brown. Governor Brown, we are in the midst of a presidential race. You have run for president several times yourself. I'm wondering, where do you see this race right now?
I see Biden ahead, but it's not stable. So what happens in the debate? Events are always happening. The COVID virus came out of nowhere. The fires are more intense than people ever expect. So events will happen. Who knows? The October surprise that sometimes people talk about. So I think Biden is in the lead. He has a very good chance to win if he has a strong debate performance. If he is steady, if Trump is less steady, I think we're going to see a Biden presidency.
You know, in the last few weeks, we've seen several of the president's advisors come out against him. There was the Woodward book where he talked about the coronavirus and playing it down, the Atlantic article where he talked about the military in a negative way. Yet his support pretty much remains the same. If you look at the polls, there's this group of people that are basically not going to leave him no matter what. Does any of this stuff that we're talking about even really matter?
That's a really good question. The people, I think, not all, but a good number of the people for Trump are there because they want to see abortion outlawed. They want to see prayer back in the public schools. They want to see a kind of social pattern that we had in this country for a long, long time. Or there are people with money that want to keep it and do not want to see any regulations or taxes that would tend to redistribute wealth to those most in need. So that belief, that alienation of the Obama, the Democratic platform, is so strong that no matter what Trump does, they're going to vote for him. But that's only 42% of the people. There's this other group that 5%, 8%, they're the ones that make the difference. So far, Biden has enough of them to win, and there's just enough now to make this election very interesting and close, and it'll really depend for them. Most of the people watching have already made up their mind. So most people watching this, well they're in California anyway, they're not going to make the difference. But there are people in Pennsylvania and Florida, in Wisconsin, and those people can be affected, and they'll determine the outcome. Paradoxically, one or 2% of the American people decide the whole thing, decide our future. So that's a very odd course of events, but that's the way things work in our country.
And if you look at the Electoral College, last time it came down to 3 states and 100,000 people, it was even less than 1% of the American people that decided the election. So the big event, as you mentioned, that's coming up is the debate. You have been a part of presidential debates in the past. You've been in a lot of debates over 50 years. You've never debated somebody quite like Donald Trump before. What would be your advice to Vice President Biden in debating Donald Trump?
Number one, practice, practice, practice. I've been in debates. I've been sometimes better disciplined than others. And I can tell you, anticipate, spend days if you have to. Number one, so practice. Number two, get your talking points. Number three, no matter what he asks you, you don't spend more than a second or two answering it and then pivot and give your talking point again. You have to hold your ground. Trump is going to try to throw Biden off. Trump has an agility and kind of an animal instinct that will push him toward the juggler. And Biden better be well prepared and have his armor well in place.
Are there a lot of Democrats that are concerned about that debate? Are you concerned?
Well, I haven't been in debates. I'd be concerned. They always made me nervous. Sometimes I did pretty darn good. Other times I wasn't so happy with the performance. So that's all I'm going to say. Trump, you see, has been discounted by all his crazy statements. As he said, he can kill somebody on Fifth Avenue in New York and people are still going to vote for him. That being the case, Trump is more invulnerable on the downside. But on the other hand, he's got a very difficult upside to overcome. I think Biden, if he just shows himself decent, intelligent, experienced, really bipartisan, he'll carry the day.
All right, well, enough talking about them. Let's talk a little bit more about you. We do something on our show called Personal Issues to get to know our guests a little bit better. It's right. 30 seconds, rapid-fire questions about some of your favorite things. You're either going to love this segment or you're going to hate it. I'm not quite sure, but let's give it a try. And
I always think in one-second segments, so that'll be good.
Yeah, okay. So this is quick answers, right? Quick. So here we go. We'll put that 30 seconds up on the clock, and let's start with, what's your favorite book?
My favorite book, Sleepwalking into World War I. It really was amazing.
Favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie, Casablanca.
Favorite band or musical artist?
Linda Ronstadt.
Ah, of course. Favorite meal?
Favorite meal, bean, rice, and cheese burrito.
And what's the best thing about being a Californian?
The best thing?
Yeah.
I don't know, living in Calusa County with the coyotes and the rattlesnakes.
Very nice. I love that.
Our thanks to Governor Brown. Also on the Issue Is podcast this week, we had a conversation with Jeff Mason, the Reuters White House correspondent, about that trip, and also with Gloria Allred about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Hope you will download those podcasts as well. And make sure to connect with me on social media, at Alex Michelson. Would love to hear your feedback. Thanks for listening to The Issue Is. Talk to you next time.